in the Father, who created all that is. And we believe the universe and all therein is His. As a loving Heavenly Father, He yearned to save us all, to lift us from the fall. We believe. We believe in Jesus, the Father's only Son, existing created before time had begun, a sacrifice for sin. He died, then rose again to ransom sinful men. We believe. We believe in the Spirit, who makes believers one. Our hearts are filled with His presence, the Comforter has come. His kingdom unfolds in His plan, unhindered by quarrels of man. His church upheld by His hand, we believe. Though the earth be removed and time be no more, these truths are secure. God's word shall endure, whatever may come. These things are sure. We believe. So if the mountains are cast down into the plains, when kingdoms all crumble, this one remains. Our faith is not subject to seasons of men. With our fathers we proclaim, we believe our Lord will come as He said. The land and the sea will give up their dead, and children will reign with Him as their head. We believe. We
Thank you, Bruce. Those are words we all need to take to heart. Thank you. Our New Testament lesson is from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Spirit, that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. Today is the day that we recognize Trinity Sunday. It's that day set aside in the church year to focus specifically on the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't always understand what the concept of the Trinity is all about. People have tried through the centuries to explain the Trinity of God. I found that Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 is a place in the Bible to clearly see the Trinity of God. The Bible tells us, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." In those two verses, we see Jesus as the Son of God. Then the Holy Spirit of God descended like a dove. That's the Holy Spirit. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son." That's God the Father. You see the triune God in those two verses of Scripture. What's important is in Jesus' baptism, where this event happened, Jesus' baptism marked the beginning of his participation in God's plan for the world. After Jesus was baptized, Jesus' ministry began. Jesus lived and taught in a way that not only pointed people to God, but proved that Jesus is God. Then, after his death and resurrection, Jesus' last words to his disciples completed the work of Jesus' life purpose. Jesus' last words to his disciples give us, as the church, the directives from God that we are to follow. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 that I just read records these words. These are the last words of the risen Christ. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus instructed his disciples to continue his message of forgiveness and salvation, to bring people into the body of Christ, the church, and to do that through the sharing of their faith, through baptism, and through obedience to God's words. Those were Jesus' instructions to the disciples. Those are still Jesus' instructions to us as the church. Jesus made it very clear that all that we do in faithfulness to Christ is done in cooperation with the three persons of God. Those same words that Jesus used with his disciples, we still use those words in churches today. When people are baptized, we say, "In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." The Lord is one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord is one God who is three perfectly complementary persons. He is one God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of us is one person, just like the Lord is one God. And we have only one soul. Each of us is also a Trinity. We are created in God's image, and so understanding how each of us is a Trinity helps us to understand how God is a Trinity. I'll try and explain it to you. Our lives are made up of only three things. Number one, everything we decide and care about and believe. Number two, everything we say. And number three, everything we do. That's us. The Lord is one God in three persons. Number one, everything God decides, cares about, and chooses to remember can be likened to God the Father. Number two, the Word of God is everything that God says and creates through His Word, and that can be likened to God the Son. That's Jesus. And number three, everything God does in and through His church is done through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the most biblical illustration that I have found on the Trinity of God. Each of us is a Trinity because only three things make up our lives. Everything we decide and care about and believe with our minds, everything we say with our mouths, and third, everything we do with our hands and our feet. That's it. That's all we are. What I'm going to say next is very humbling to me and even a little bit scary, because when each one of us stands before God at the judgment, God will call us to account for the three things that we are. First, God will judge our thoughts and attitudes and beliefs. God will judge what we believe, and God will judge our thoughts, and God will judge the attitudes of our hearts. Our attitudes are a big deal to God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Unquote. God will judge our thoughts and our beliefs and our attitudes because that's who we are. Second, God will judge every word we say. Jesus in Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37 says, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." God will judge us by every word that we say, because that's who we are. And number three, God will judge us by our deeds. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." God will judge us by what we do, because that's who we are. When we think good thoughts, we act like God the Father. When we say good things, we act like Jesus, God the Son. When we decide to do good things and then do them, we act like God the Holy Spirit. Each day, it's important that we invite God's Spirit to control our thoughts and our words and our actions so we can serve God better. Both adults and children can be easily helped to understand the Trinity in the words of an old, familiar, and beloved Sunday school song. Many of you know it. I invite you to sing along with Paul. It's called Be Careful. Be careful, little mind, what you think is the first verse. Be careful, little mouth, what you say is the second verse. And be careful, little hands, what you do is the third verse.
Be careful, little mind, what you think. Be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is helping us to love. So be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is helping us to love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is helping us to love. So be careful, little hands, what you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. That's an important song because we can give glory to God by what we think and say and do, and that song helps us to remember. The Holy Spirit helps us to cooperate with God and please Him. He brings to our memory and helps us to understand the words of the Bible and all of the things that God said to us through His only Son, Jesus, so we can obey God and please Him. The Holy Spirit helps us to keep our minds and our hearts on Christ so we can understand Jesus' feelings and put His feelings ahead of our own. I told you a couple of weeks ago that the church began when the Father sent His Holy Son, sent His Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came to empower us to cooperate with God and to work together to serve and glorify God in all that we do. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that as the church, we can witness to other people about God's love for them. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can witness to others about what God has done in our lives. And we do so in cooperation with and in obedience to the words of Jesus that are found only in the Bible. When we think good thoughts, we act like God the Father. When we say good things, we act like God the Son. When we do good things, we act like God the Holy Spirit. Each day, it's important for us to invite God's Spirit to control our thoughts and our words and our actions so that we can serve God better and give the glory only to God. I said a few minutes ago that we will be called to judgment for what we think and say and do. If you're worried about God's judgment on yourself, confess your sins to God. Ask Him to forgive you. 1 John 1:9 in the Bible says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. And then tell Jesus that you believe in Him and you believe that He is God's only Son. Ask Jesus to save you from your sins and to give you a new clean heart. Ask God to give you the Holy Spirit to help you day by day and sometimes moment by moment to not sin against God anymore. When God judges us, God will not compare us to each other. When God judges us, God will compare us to himself, and each one of us will be found wanting. Each one of us falls short of God's righteousness. When we invite Jesus into our hearts to save us from our sins, God gives us new clothes. He clothes us with the righteousness of his only Son, Jesus. It won't be our righteousness that saves us at the judgment. It will be the righteousness of Jesus. Talk to Jesus about it. He's only a prayer away. That's all I have to say about that.